Hey, it's Brian Murphy here, and whether you're orchestrating a corporate gathering, gearing up for a team-building session, or just seeking a spot to savor thrilling sports and activities, the Clubhouse in Fremont is the go-to destination for bistro, bar, bocce, golf, and fitness. From team-building to private golf lessons on any one of 140 golf courses around the world, the Clubhouse in Fremont has you covered. Visit FremontClubhouse.com to learn more about their amazing amenities and private events. The Clubhouse in Fremont, the Bay Area's place to play. Golfers, get ready to elevate your Saturday mornings. Yeah, it's Brian Murphy here, and I am thrilled to introduce the Clubhouse Corner with Ben and Eddie. This is a passion project from the good folks at the Clubhouse in Fremont. These two are on a mission to make golf accessible and enjoyable for the masses. So set your alarm. 7 a.m. every Saturday, join Ben and Eddie at the Clubhouse Corner, only on KNBR.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
I think Kolsky's out getting high or doing something.
Filling in for Tom, here's Matt Kolsky on KNBR 680.
It is Matt Kolsky. I don't know. Before we have like respected individuals in the Bay Area sports media on the line, maybe we don't play the Kolsky's out getting high drop. It's just I want to set myself up for success. Marcus Thompson, senior columnist for The Athletic. Very excited to talk to him. It has been a while. Marcus, how's it going, man?
You being high only boosts your professionalism.
Okay. I guess that's true.
Or at least my view, anyway.
Right. If I'm getting it done despite, then I must be onto something.
This is my guy. So I like a man who knows how to medicate.
I'm going to leave that right there and not comment on it, but other than to say so do I. Your last piece, Marcus. It was about Klay Thompson, and that's what I've been talking about so far today. And specifically, it strikes me, both from my own eyes and from your reporting, that most of what Klay has been going through this year has not so much been a physical thing as it's sort of a mental, emotional thing. Does that track with what you feel like you learned, and what do you think it sort of exactly was?
I mean, there was a physical component to it. His legs wasn't there in the way he probably thought they would be, right? And he talked about it a little bit today at shoot around, how he was getting tired. He said he was in good shape but not great shape, and that played a factor, the physical part, because he was just operating like someone who didn't have any limitations, right? Like. Yep. He was playing like, yo, I'm game six Klay. This shot is going in, right? I'm hoisting it, and this is what I do, and I'm about to drop 40. Instead of playing like someone who has certain limitations and doesn't have rhythm, doesn't have great conditioning, and it kind of got to him. He even talked about today about the trolls, and like he was even listening to the people who were criticizing him. He was open about like Barkley, you know, and people were like kind of doubting him. So I think it was mostly mental and emotional. He just had this incredible desire to prove to everybody that he was still the same Klay from 2019. And that led him to do too much, which physically he just wasn't ready to do yet.
You also said in that piece, and I thought this was interesting and certainly true to this point of the season, that for this Warriors team to get right now, it's going to have to be about the big names. It's got to be the stars that get it done. Do you think that is a problem for them if it stays that way heading, you know, into May? Or is it, look, these are the stars who've won titles before, and that's what they're going to depend on them to do again if they want to win?
It's a problem. If it goes on, like if they got to do it to get like 6 feet or something, right? That's a problem. I mean, we came into this year thinking those guys would chill a little, right? Like, yeah. I mean, they're all like, Steph is going to be 35 in 4 months. You know, they're all 30 plus. And, you know, the people they have to beat are not. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's like you kind of want to preserve their legs. So to me, it feels like it's a problem if they have to do this for the entire season and then do it in the playoffs. They need at some point somebody to come along and say, we got other players. We can play. And that's what happened last year, right? You had the stretches where Otto Porter was great. Gary Payton II was great. Bealita was good, right? Like, you just had other people contributing. And, you know, we watched games where they rested the starters and they go to San Antonio and win. Like, those little key moments. Like, that stuff is important. It matters in the long run. So, I feel like they have to do this now. It probably wasn't part of the cards, but they have to do it now to make sure they don't fall out of the race, right?
Yeah.
To make sure they're not a play-in team battling with, you know, the Lakers to get in. But at some point, they're going to need some other players to produce. And if not, they might have to make some changes to get some players who can produce. Because to ask, you know, 3 30-year-plus guys to just play all out for another season, which would be they made 6 finals in 8 years, which would be the 7th potential deep run in their careers. It just feels like you're asking for somebody to get hurt if you do that.
So along those lines, and we are talking to Marcus Thompson, senior columnist for The Athletic. Along those lines, you mentioned Otto Porter and Gary Payton, and obviously those are the two reserve guys that everyone is missing a lot this year. That being said, I think most people who cover and follow this team responded pretty positively to the Jamichael Green and Dante DiVincenzo signings in the offseason. I realize they're not Porter and Payton, but do you expect to see significantly better from them as the year progresses? Do you see sort of some of their early struggles, and Dante obviously has been injured, but do you see it as more of a learning curve or maybe not the fit we were hoping?
Golfers, get ready to elevate your Saturday mornings. Yeah, it's Brian Murphy here, and I am thrilled to introduce the Clubhouse Corner with Ben and Eddie. This is a passion project from the good folks at the Clubhouse in Fremont. These two are on a mission to make golf accessible and enjoyable for the masses. So set your alarm. 7 a.m. every Saturday, join Ben and Eddie at the Clubhouse Corner, only on KNBR.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Hey, it's Brian Murphy here, and whether you're orchestrating a corporate gathering, gearing up for a team-building session, or just seeking a spot to savor thrilling sports and activities, the Clubhouse in Fremont is the go-to destination for bistro, bar, bocce, golf, and fitness. From team-building to private golf lessons on any one of 140 golf courses around the world, the Clubhouse in Fremont has you covered. Visit FremontClubhouse.com to learn more about their amazing amenities and private events. The Clubhouse in Fremont, the Bay Area's place to play.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
I think for Dante, it feels like a learning curve, right? It feels like he needed to get his sea legs under him, you know, get healthy. Because, you know, he's a good point-of-attack defender. You know, he can make an outside shot. Mm-hmm. Like, it just feels like he can do some things on the court. With Jamichael Green, that's the tricky part because they've already essentially reduced him to one position. I mean, if you want to figure out – if you're valuable to the Warriors, the question is how many positions can they put you at?
Yeah.
And when you get down to just one, that you better be really good at that one position, right? Because they're so versatile in how they play. And that's how they can play 8-9 guys, because those 8-9 guys can occupy two or three positions, and now you can switch things up. But so if they're just saying he's just the backup center, that limits the number of lineups he can be in, and it limits the options they have, which is a bit of an issue. Now, he could probably still turn it around, but, you know, if that's what they see from him, that's a very limited thing. And I don't think that's what they were thinking for him. If he's replacing Otto Porter, Otto was 4, he played 5.
Yep.
He could bring the ball up, right? Like, there was just more to it with Otto. So, to me, it feels like Dante can run the point, can play off the ball, can probably even play 3 in certain lineups, and you can just use him more. Whereas Jermichael Green looks like he's going to be like one area, and that's a little bit. Yeah, that's definitely a loss if he's replacing Otto Porter. That's a bit of a loss, but.
They thought they were getting the Porter replacement and ended up with the Bielitsa replacement instead, it seems like.
Absolutely. That's what it seems like, that more than anything, which means you still need an Otto Porter version type player, because that player is still important. What Otto Porter did is still vital. I hate to put him in the same sentence with Kevin Durant, but that is the role, right?
Yep.
Somebody who is a 3 who could play 4. And that way you could put Draymond at the 5, and you don't go so small, right? You're not just getting obliterated because you don't have, like, a small guy playing for. Like, Harrison Barnes used to be that guy. Throughout this whole run, they've had that player who was really a small forward, but they would put him at the 4, and, you know, he had to just toughen up. That's what they wanted for Jermichael Green. So if they don't have that, they still need it.
And at least in the case of, I mean, certainly Durant, but Porter, a guy who, when he upsized to the 4, was still a high-level rebounder and could also move the ball really well for that position. And so far, unfortunately, not much of any of that from Jermichael Green. Is there a move out there in your mind that the Warriors would be willing to make that might solve that problem?
I don't think so yet right now. I think that's one of those situations where you got to see who becomes available and what the asking price is.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, it's becoming very clear that they just have too many young guys, and they're going to have to make a decision on at least one of them, right? Like, they're going to have to decide, we don't need 6.
Right.
Maybe we can just roll with 4.
And it's going to have to be, unfortunately for them, it's going to have to be one of the guys they're already pretty attached to, because you're certainly not getting anything for Patrick Baldwin or Ryan Rollins at this point.
You sure they won't get you Giannis, Robinson?
I can't be sure.
TBJ?
I'm never sure until somebody makes the offer, Marcus, but I have a sneaking suspicion, I guess, is the way that I would say it. So let's talk Wiseman, though. Marcus Thompson with me. Obviously, anyone who follows this team has seen the numbers. And look, man, they are truly very bad. This kid's impact on the basketball floor right now is just pretty clearly negative. What do you think is the biggest reason for those struggles? I mean, is it just lack of experience? Is it not a great fit? Is he never going to be any good? What do you look at as this is why it's been so rough for James Wiseman? Because it's almost been historically rough.
I mean, the truth is, it's just a bad fit, right? It's a bad team for him. He's a guy who hasn't played, and he needs to play. But it's tough to just put him out there because he's on a team that's trying to win a championship. And that's just not ideal for him. He needs to be in a place that's essentially not trying to win. And when I say not trying to win, like not trying to lose the games, but a team that doesn't have any championship aspirations, who can afford to let him make mistakes, get out there, learn the lessons, be confident that his mistakes won't get him pulled from the game. Like, the Warriors don't have that luxury. And when they drafted him, maybe they thought they would have that luxury more than they do, but then Steph ended up being, like, still an all-world player, and that went out the window. So he's on a team that can't be as patient with him as he needs to be. And then compounding things, he's playing in a system that is kind of difficult to grasp, and he doesn't have the experience to be able to grasp it fast. His biggest issue, the number one issue with James Wiseman, is he cannot play with Steph. That's his biggest problem. When he's on the court with Steph, it hurts Steph. And if you're playing for the Warriors, you need to be able to maximize your time on the court with Steph. If you can't be good on the court with Steph, you can't play. And that's the most difficult part for him. But playing with Steph is not – it's a complicated thing. I'm writing about it right now. Like, it is sophisticated, and you got to know what you're doing, and he hasn't played enough to know that yet. So it's really just an unfortunate circumstance for him that he got drafted to a team who just happened to have an all-world player who probably when he got drafted we thought would be winding down, and it turns out he's even better. So the whole timeline has shifted.
So everything you just said would be well used to describe a player who really should be traded. In your mind, is that a legitimate consideration for this team? Are they thinking about it? And how much of how seriously they think about it has to do with the owner's opinion of the player?
Yeah, I mean,
Golfers, get ready to elevate your Saturday mornings. Yeah, it's Brian Murphy here, and I am thrilled to introduce the Clubhouse Corner with Ben and Eddie. This is a passion project from the good folks at the Clubhouse in Fremont. These two are on a mission to make golf accessible and enjoyable for the masses. So set your alarm. 7 a.m. every Saturday, join Ben and Eddie at the Clubhouse Corner. Only on KNBR.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
I still think you got to convince the guy at the top first. And his plan is also not just about basketball, right? Like, it's about money. And at some point, he would like to not have to pay four players $30 million or more, right? He would like to be able to just pay somebody 18 or cost control. But I also think there's a part of Joe Lacob that is a little bit like, worried, not a little bit, pretty worried about Steph retiring, Klay retiring, or just Steph retiring, period, because that changes everything,
yep.
And him going to the dredges of the NBA until he finds another superstar. I think he's worried about that, and I think that has led him to be really committed to this two timeline. So the day Steph leaves, they've already got the machine still running and ready to go. Problem is, there's just nothing we've seen so far that makes us believe when Steph is gone, this what they have around them will be good enough to compete without him. We just haven't seen that. So it's going to be tough sell to get him to say to move on because so much is poured into that. But also the biggest problem they have right now is what are you getting for him? It might just be better to keep him at this point just because you're not getting anything out of it. And would you give them up just for nothing? Like, I don't know that they would do that. They're just in a tough spot. If you map this out, he might be good in 3 years and 5 years. But at that point, you know, even if they're all good, they're all now on the contracts that they're trying to avoid anyway, right?
So yeah.
It's like whatever was thought to be possible is just not going to happen, not with these particular players. Right.
Yeah, well,
Steph
listen, I mean,
Steph ain't done now anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly.
About in 4-3 years anyway, at the earliest, Steph would be done. So,
and I think
know how it's feasible.
Right. And at least with Poole and Kuminga, you've seen things from each to where you can imagine them being helpful to this team now where they're not the stars. With Wiseman, we just haven't seen it. And it's a bummer for everybody involved, quite frankly, because I don't dislike the kid as a prospect, but. Like you're saying, it's hard to imagine a scenario where he's allowed to develop as a prospect in this situation.
And the hope now is that he goes to the G League and he, if he just starts understanding how to play the way the Warriors play, if he gets that down, he'd be a lot better.
Yep.
The big issue is knowing where to be, right? Not being in the way, because he's clearly like talented, right? Like he'll get you 15 easy, right? And if he could just limit his game to some of those things, like the way they used to do with JaVale McGee, then now what you have, you don't have another two pick, you don't have a franchise cornerstone, but you do have a backup center, right?
Yeah.
And you're not hoping Jamichael Green is the guy, right? So at best, if he could be that, that's not nothing, and that gives them something they can use. So that's the question. If it's at all possible, he does 20 games or whatever in the G League, like Jordan Poole did, and comes back, it's like, all right, I get what we're doing, I'm ready. And now you've got a contributing backup center. Like, to me, they might be thinking, I think they're thinking, that would be the better value than trading him for whatever we can get right now, which is not much. Unless there's some team who is like, oh, you blew with Wiseman, but if we got our hands on him, he'd be an all-star. You find that team, then you might have to pull the trigger.
Yeah, and look, you can usually find a team that thinks that highly of themselves.
Yes, you can.
It usually is out there. Marcus Thompson is my guest, senior columnist for The Athletic. Before we let you go, real quick, I wanted to just ask you something about the Niners, because I know you wrote right after that loss in Kansas City, after they, you know, McCaffrey's first game, you wrote about how the offense was the side of the ball that really needed to lock in and step up. And I think essentially since then, they more or less have. The Chargers game wasn't all roses, but tough defense there. What in your mind has keyed this turnaround? Is it as simple as McCaffrey getting into the fold, or is there something more to it?
I think the big part is McCaffrey getting into the fold. It's what he's doing. And by the way, thanks for giving me credit, because I know they stepped it up because of me.
Exactly.
Right? I'm taking all of that, right?
They're reading. Don't kid yourself.
The big thing is McCaffrey commands the attention of the defense in such a way that it just opens up the field. Now, the open field is making Jimmy Garoppolo more comfortable, and it's making Kyle Shanahan more comfortable with Jimmy Garoppolo. So one of them is playing better. And then the other one is not being so conservative because he's scared about his quarterback, right?
Yeah.
And you're getting kind of this chain effect, right? I don't know, man, especially that Arizona game and even the Chargers game. Like, how many times do you see Jimmy go through one, read two, read three, read four, and then back to the first? Like, that just wasn't happening. But the field is so spread. They got so many guys to cover. And for me, a big key is McCaffrey gives him somebody in the flats. And that just wasn't a part of the 49ers offense, somebody in the flat. So he can go out to either side, and what that does is stretches the defense across the entire field, sideline to sideline. You look at that last game, he didn't even throw it out of the field. It was all horizontal. And then you spread them out, you give the ball to the playmakers, and you let them make a play. And with Jimmy playing well, prevents Kyle from being – shook and wanted to turn this into like new Rocky football, and now they're just kind of opening it up, and it's working, like it's clicking in a way that you think it should. This team should average 30 points just because of the amount of talent on the offense, and they're looking like a team that can.
Yeah, and it's a lot more fun to watch than some of what we've seen over the last handful of years, so I think we're all thankful for it, just as we are thankful today for your presence. Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate you taking the time, man.
You are a trooper in there high by yourself.
See, now we're starting rumors. It's my first show for the new boss. He's going to listen to this back on Monday because I'm sure he has better things to do right now, and I'm never working again. But you know what? It was worth it.
It's all legal. You'll be all right.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. Thank you, Marcus. That's the insight we needed. Marcus Thompson, senior columnist for The Athletic. You know him. You love him. He's on with Tolbert and Copes every week.
Hey, it's Brian Murphy here, and whether you're orchestrating a corporate gathering, gearing up for a team-building session, or just seeking a spot to savor thrilling sports and activities, the Clubhouse in Fremont is the go-to destination for bistro, bar, bocce, golf, and fitness. From team-building to private golf lessons on any one of 140 golf courses around the world, the Clubhouse in Fremont has you covered.
Visit FremontClubhouse.com to learn more about their amazing amenities and private events. The Clubhouse in Fremont, the Bay Area's place to play.